It's a problem that we are all familiar with. You begin a new habit, prayer, exercise, Bible reading, and then things are off to a great start. But then maybe after a few weeks, you start to fall back into your own ways. And what I'm talking about is inconsistency. Specifically, I'm talking about that frustrating experience of our behaviors not matching our values and our seeming powerlessness to change that. And so my aim here in this podcast episode is to help you become a more consistent person. And to accomplish this goal, I want to do three things. Okay, so first, I want to impress on you just how vital consistency really is. Like, this is a character trait you want to cultivate. This is well worth investing in. And so it is a goal worthy of your pursuit, even though if you're not very consistent, becoming consistent is very hard. It's going to be worth it. So that's the first. Second, I want to show you from the scriptures that you have been given the power to become a more consistent person, right? God is on your side in this pursuit. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been empowered to become more consistent. And so we'll talk through that. Then third, I want to provide you with a really actionable strategy, just a few steps to start achieving greater consistency in all areas of your life. How do you take hold of those means of grace God's given you? How do you really organize yourself so that you can become more consistent? All right, let's dive in. So first, I want to talk about the character of consistency. So let's just start here with affirming that the desire to be a more consistent person is a noble one, right? When we talk about becoming more consistent, quote unquote, what we're talking about really is maturity, right? Being dependable, having integrity. A consistent person is someone who sticks with the plan, they keep their word, they follow through whether they feel like it or not. And so I think a lot of us, we desire consistency in large measure because we admire it when we see it in others, right? If you picture anybody, like think real quickly about someone you look up to. And I am willing to bet that one of the qualities that you most respect about them is their consistency. Because consistent people are those who you can count on. They're the ones that you trust. And so we can say consistency is maturity, but we might also say consistency is character, right? It permeates all those qualities that we think of when we think of a person of character. And I think this is really key, right? We got to face up to the fact that our inability to stick with our habits isn't just like a personality quirk, right? You might say, well, I'm just not a type A person, you know? So that's why I'm kind of flaky and inconsistent. No, it's not just who you are. It's actually a lack of maturity. It's a lack of character. And so we should desire to be more consistent because we want to be growing in maturity, right? But I will say this, most importantly, we should desire consistency because we serve a consistent God. So it's God's consistency, which is to say his faithfulness, his unchanging character, that is the basis of our confidence in his promises to us. So we know that when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it because he is unchanging. He consistently keeps his word, right? You can see this in Hebrews 13:8 or Deuteronomy 7:9. He's a faithful God. That's like he self-designates himself as faithful. And that's another word for consistent, right? A faithful person keeps their word. A consistent person does what they say they're going to do and keeps doing it. And so, you know, God's consistency, like I said, it's the basis of our trust in him. Our faith in God is well grounded because he's faithful. And so how does this apply to us? Well, as image bearers of God, we too should aspire to the same kind of promise-keeping faithfulness. We want to be trustworthy people. We want to be faithful as he is faithful. And that means being more consistent, being people that stick with what we say we're going to do. And we'll see, like, this applies to habits, any kind of habit in life, because it's a character quality. It's not about, are you good at sticking with habit X? It's about, are you the type of person who sticks with what they say they're going to do? Are you a consistent person? And so we see this, obviously, like, when it comes to spiritual disciplines and righteous living, like all throughout scripture, you see calls to consistency in prayer, right? Like pray without ceasing, to obedience, to love, to be consistent in doctrine, right? Not wavering, not tossed about by every wind, and even righteous living. So we're called by God not to be flighty or unreliable or flaky, people who rarely follow through on what they say they will do. We're called to be people who are faithful, people who stick with the habits they start, who don't use their feelings as a barometer of whether or not we're going to do our duty or not. We're called to be consistent. And so the point that I'm just trying to make here, just to reiterate, is consistency matters a great deal. Don't like push this aside and say, that's just not who I am. No, you are called to be a consistent person, and it matters a great deal. And even though it can be very frustrating at times, we are not to throw up our hands in defeat. Inconsistency is not a minor issue that we can just shrug off. It is at the heart of our maturity as believers, and so we've got to press forward. And thankfully, God is our greatest ally in this fight for consistency, and he has supplied us with the power to change, not just temporarily, but to change and become people who are more consistent in their faithfulness in all aspects of life. So let's talk about that, the capacity for consistency, the capacity for consistency. Maybe I can put this really, really sharply. All of the significant changes that you are seeking in your life are on the other side of consistency. All of the significant changes that you are seeking in your life are on the other side of consistency. If you would become more consistent in your devotional life, you would have that flourishing, closer walk with the Lord that you desire. If you could become more consistent in exercise or healthy eating, you would have the physical health, the energy you wish you had. If you would become more consistent in your relationships, you would achieve that closeness that you desire with your loved ones. And so my point is simply that if you can master the art of consistency, you can become the type of person God's called you to be, not just in your walk with him, but in every area of life. It has spillover effects when you develop this character of consistency. And the great news is he's empowered us to grow in this vital area of maturity. So the trouble comes when we seek to address our lack of consistency through just like purely human means. So I, as much as anybody, have benefited a lot from books on habits. Like, for example, I have grab this off the bookshelf. James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. Like, we read through this in our community. I've got a lot of good principles from this. I find it a helpful book in many regards. The problem comes, though, for Christians when we seek to address this character problem of consistency through like purely human means like this. Like, this is just behaviorism, basically. The problem with books like these is that they treat our lack of consistency with that like psychological behaviorism, but they ignore the heart. And so as Christians, the kind of consistency we're after isn't the result of just like reprogramming our brain, but it's the result of a renewed heart. And that requires supernatural intervention, right? Like, you don't just want to change your behaviors and trying to hack your psychology. What you want is to change from the inside out. And that's what God wants to do in you. And that's why we're so blessed in that he has given us his Holy Spirit and he desires for us to change. He's given us means to change from the inside out. It's not just an external thing. It's not just about hacking your behavior. And so if you're frustrated with your own inconsistency, which, you know, we all are from time to time, I want you to be encouraged. God wants to develop the character of consistency within you, and the power to change comes from the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. It's Romans 8:9. But the Spirit uses means to change us. So this is not the type of thing where you just sit back and wait for a zap from heaven. It is the Spirit who's working supernaturally, but he uses means. So the last thing I want to do here is examine three ways you can draw upon the Spirit's power to become more consistent, sort of a strategy for being more consistent. So, all right, do a little recap. We've seen that consistency matters and that God supplies the power for us to become consistent. So what does that mean for us now? What action can we take in order to lay hold of the means God has given us to grow in consistency? Let me give you just a three-step plan, okay? So the first thing is prayer. So number one is prayer. If you want to draw on God's supernatural power to be more consistent, the best place to begin is with asking Him. You know, the New Testament speaks very clearly about the power of prayer, that God wants to answer our prayers. See Matthew 21, 22, or James 5, 15 through 16. But let me make a suggestion. I'm not just saying pray generally. Yeah, you should just pray in general. You should pray without ceasing. You should pray consistently, right? But let me make a single suggestion. Pray specifically. So my guess is you probably clicked on this video or hit play on the podcast because you had some habit in mind that you want to be more consistent. You said, oh, here's something that's going to help me be more consistent. What I'm suggesting is that you don't just pray generally that you'd be more consistent, but that you pray specifically that the Lord would help you to grow in consistency in a specific habit. And if you don't have a specific area that you're thinking of growing in, let me also suggest that consistency in prayer is a great place to begin. So let's get kind of meta with this. Growing in consistency in your prayer life is going to have overflow effects to the rest of your life being consistent. If you're walking close with the Lord, you're confessing your sins to Him, you're giving thanks to Him, and you're praying for others, and you're praying for yourself, you will begin to grow more. And so there's this consistency in prayer is like a catalyst to you growing in consistency in every area of life. And again, this is very biblical. In fact, this is one of the things, if you want to look at what does the scripture call us to be consistent in, you're going to see prayer everywhere, right? Romans 12, 12, be consistent in prayer, or constant in prayer. 1 Corinthians 7, 5 talks about devoting ourselves to prayer. Colossians 4, 2 says continue steadfastly in prayer. And like I said before, can there be any clearer call to consistency in prayer than the call to pray without ceasing, which is in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. And like I said, one thing you're going to discover is that as you grow in consistency in one area of life, it bleeds over into others. Charles Duhigg, he wrote a book called The Power of Habit, and he calls these keystone habits. And I think that's a helpful designation, is these habits, these specific areas we become consistent in, certain ones seem to help us to be consistent in multiple areas of life, right? If you've ever had the experience where you start consistently exercising, then you see yourself getting up at the same time, you're eating healthier, right? Other things sort of are affected by that. And my suggestion to you is that the best place to begin, the best habit to start with, is get consistent in prayer and let that be the keystone habit. And then you'll see consistency grow in other areas. Okay, so that's step one. Start praying. And start praying specifically for God's help in being more consistent. Step two in our little plan here is plan. So next, we got to make a plan. So let's continue using our example of developing a consistent prayer life. But you can substitute any other habit you're trying to develop. The same general principles are going to apply. So it might sound strange to plan to pray. We've grown accustomed, some of us, to the notion that planning is sort of sub-spiritual. Some have even argued that it's a sin to plan. I did a video a year or two ago about that, about some interactions I had online with people that are like, you shouldn't be planning. You should just be waiting for God to tell you what to do. And I'm like, show me that in the Bible. But somewhere along the lines, I think we've gotten it into our heads that our feelings should dictate our prayer life. And I think this is a lie. In fact, I think this is a lie from the enemy. Yes, if you feel like praying, you should pray, right? You should never ignore the desire to pray. But too often we think if I don't feel like praying, that it would be wrong for me to pray. I've run into this all the time. And so we think if I'm not stirred up to pray, those prayers must not be very spiritual. They must not be very pleasing to God. And yeah, it is true. God desires us to pray from the heart, and our affections should not be in the driver's seat, though, deciding whether or not we're going to pray. Sometimes we need a routine to kickstart our cold affections. If you want more on this, look up my interview with Greg Gifford. He wrote the book called Heart and Habits, and he talks about this sort of virtuous cycle between our heart and our habits, and that how sometimes our habits are the things that kickstart our affections when they're not operating quite right. And sometimes it's our affections, our desire, that actually kickstart our habits. And those things work symbiotically. It's not that one has to come first. It's that you just got to get on that wheel, whether it's through, the Lord stirs up your heart, or whether it's through, no, I've just set a time to pray, and I'm going to trust and pray that my affections, my feelings follow. And just to belabor this point, Daniel, I think, is a helpful example at this point. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar posted his decree that forbade worship of any other gods but himself, Daniel stood up by the window and he prayed 3 times a day, right? This is why he got thrown into the lion's den. But what you got to notice is it's not a new habit. It's not that the king's decree made him say, I'm just going to defy the king. It says specifically in the text, as was his custom. Daniel's habit of prayer was just that. It was a habit that he was consistent in. He was consistent in prayer because he planned to be. And that's sort of the point we're on here. You've got to make a plan to pray, or for any habit that you want to do. You can't trust your feelings. You've got to make a plan. So a plan in its simplest form involves 3 elements. There's a behavior, there's a time, and a place. This has sometimes been called an implementation intention. So this is a great thing to actually write out on paper. So for our purposes, we might say, I will pray every morning at 7 a.m. in my office. That's my implementation intention. That's my plan, right? 3 elements. I have the behavior, I want to pray. I have a time, that's every morning at 7 a.m., and I have a place in my office. I've really specified, I have a very focused definition of whether I'm doing that or not. Because too often, when we're trying to make a plan for a new habit, or trying to get consistent in something, we're too vague. Like, I'm going to work out some this week. Where? When? What is some? Right? It's too vague. And so you'll find that the more consistent you get, the better even is the content of your prayer. And the greater your satisfaction, your affections are going to start to follow. You'll sense often more that fellowship, that closeness with the Lord as the consistency grows. But you got to kickstart it with a habit first. Because when your prayer life is inconsistent, prayer is going to feel like a burden. But when it's consistent, it feels like a privilege. So just make a plan, get started. All right, part 3 of our plan. We talked about you're trying to become a more consistent person. Start with prayer. Number 2 is make a plan for when you're going to do that. And then part 3 is people. So we got 3 P's, right? We got a pray, plan, and people. So this is the last one. God did not design the Christian life to be a solo endeavor. It is meant to be done in community. That's why we have the church, right? And when it comes to consistency, it's pursuing that consistency alongside others that actually brings about lasting change. In fact, you see this even outside of the church. The number one predictor of lasting behavior change is environment. If you pull a drug addict, for example, into a rehab facility, they will kick the habit rather quickly. But if you put them back in the old environment with the same old crowd, they quickly relapse. They return to their old ways. That's because we are communal people by nature. We adapt to what people around us are doing, right? That's why we're even warned in the scriptures. You know, bad company corrupts good character. And so what I'm saying is, if you want true and lasting change, if you want to become consistent, you have to surround yourself with people that want those things too. And I think for many of us, this is the hardest part. Even if you are involved in a local church, and if you're not, you ought to be involved in a local church. Like, don't just go to church online unless you're, you know, homebound for some reason. But like, you need to be involved with real people. And even if you are, though, maybe you're in a small group, or you're in like an accountability group or something, but it is hard to muster up the vulnerability to say, hey, I don't have it all together. I want to grow in consistency in prayer, or I want to grow in consistency in this area. It's just hard to even say it, right? We want to all kind of pretend that we got our lives together. But I really want to encourage you with this. Asking for help is actually a two-way blessing. It is a blessing to you because it's going to help you to grow in that consistency, because you have other people holding you accountable, praying for you, etc. but it's also a blessing for the people that you ask, because 9 times out of 10, when they will reciprocate your request with one of their own, you'll say, can you help me with being consistent in X? And they'll say, yes, I'd love to. And actually, can you help me to grow in consistency with Y? Right? You taking the first step to ask for that accountability can be one of the kindest things you actually do for your community. You sort of crack through the armor of everyone being fake when you choose to be vulnerable and say, I want help growing, and other people do too. And before you know it, you've created a community of people that are seeking to grow together. And that is the third element: pray, plan, and people. That is going to help you be consistent. And you're recognizing that through all of this, it's actually God who's at work in you doing these things. He's helping you to will to do it, and he's helping you to actually develop that consistency, but he's using the means of you taking responsibility to pray, to plan, and to join together with other saints to doing that. So becoming consistent, it matters. And God has supplied you with the power to change. Start with prayer, create a plan, find some people, and wonderful things will start to happen. All right, thank you so much for listening or for watching. If you are listening, this podcast is also available on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, hi. This is also available on all the podcast networks if you prefer to listen. And if you don't have a community, or you want a bunch of people that are super invested in growing together, becoming more consistent, being more faithful, check out our Redeeming Productivity Academy. That is our membership program. We have courses, we have a community, we have accountability, we help people set and achieve goals. We're doing this all the time, seeing folks develop new habits in spiritual disciplines, memorizing scripture, but also in things like exercise or growing their business or whatever. But we're doing it all from a God's glory first mindset. If you want help in those things, check out Redeeming Productivity Academy at redeemingproductivity.com, where you also find my newsletter, other articles, and a ton more. So hope you check that stuff out. And until next week, I hope you have a blessed week and that you keep seeking to serve the Lord in all that you do.